to the start, please?
All right. So I'd like to welcome everybody to the June 9th, 2021 regular meeting of the Lima Board of Selectmen. This meeting is a public proceeding and is being recorded. The agenda is subject to change without notice. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Okay. Jeffrey Duhing?
Right here.
You are on, so can you just come up here, maybe?
I'm good right here, if that's okay.
Nobody can see you.
You guys can see me.
Okay.
Okay. I was here not last meeting, I missed it, because the day changed. I wasn't aware of it. The previous meeting I was here to talk to you guys about a dump in a junkyard that's going on across the street from me. And at the end of that, you guys said you'd call me back in 2 weeks, and I haven't heard from you since. Kind of wondered why. All right, so you didn't call back. So the problem across the street for me is still going on. It's a continual junkyard, and you guys aren't doing nothing about it.
We will take care of it and get back to you shortly. And somebody will call you probably this week.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have your phone numbers?
Are we going to do anything about it, or?
We have to talk about what we're going to do about it, and it's actually with the code office, so we're going to talk to the code.
Okay.
Office.
On the note with the code office, there's a shed that's over there, and I read a code. It was under section 7.2. Sheds and swimming pools require a permit. I'd like to see the permit, if there ever was one there. It also said the fee doubles or a $250 fine if they don't abide by the rule. And there's a shed over there that I'm sure does not abide by the rules. There's lots of unregistered junk vehicles, car frames hanging in the trees.
Okay, we will look into it, and I will have somebody look into it this week.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, we're at our public input time where people can have up to 5 minutes to address the board. So is there anybody that would like to? Vicki.
Hello.
Hello.
Victoria Gable, staying on Pond Road. Lyman Select Board emergency meeting last Tuesday, June 1st, this notification came from my email, and I printed it because I was kind of curious as to what constitutes an emergency meeting, and I was just wondering what criteria was used to decide that was an emergency, because the reason for executive session is for consultation with legal counsel. Never had a legal counsel that was an emergency. Just curious, how do you decide what's an emergency and what isn't?
I can't really discuss it, so I really can't tell you anything.
You can discuss why you would decide it was an emergency. Well, there's ways to talk without giving away.
Whether it's an emergency meeting or a special meeting or a regular meeting, we have to do what's practical. That was dictated at that time, and that's why that was done.
Was it? Thank you. And this is kind of a hard one. Having to do with the election that just happened yesterday. There was a lot of stuff that was said before the election. There was a lot of stuff that went on in the time leading up to it. And I'm kind of disappointed with Mr. Tibbetts in how that all went. We had a discussion, and then there were some things that happened with that was talked about that was from the discussion that was kind of struck me on. But one thing that you did say was that if certain people didn't get elected, that you were going to resign. And I'm wondering if you are going to resign today.
Not today.
Okay. Another thing about that, that's one example. Another example is in all the personnel turnover that's been going on, I've been very concerned as, three, they have all named you as a person that was causing them some stress. And the assessor left, and Green was here at that meeting, and he stated that he would work with y'all to stay, and then he was escorted out the door for whatever reason shortly thereafter. The treasurer, previous treasurer, had an issue and named you. And you had another, the other member of the board actually investigated that, which probably should have been independent, but that's just my opinion. I'm really struggling with the personnel in our town, the employees of this town. They do us such a good service, would you agree? Absolutely. My townspeople are awesome, and they deserve a little more respect than what it seems like that they're getting. And also, I'm going to throw the town clerk in with that, because I feel like y'all have taken personal steps to treat her unfairly as well. And I'd really like to see, since two people were just elected to the board and the turnover comes, I'd like to see y'all think about it. They don't just work for you. They don't just work under you. They work for us, as do you. And I'd really like to see some respect given to them. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Bob St. Orange. You've been going into executive session, and within 2 days of the executive session, what happened in the executive session is out in the public arena. It's coming from one of you people, or several of you people. Another citizen brought it to my attention, told me what happened. These other citizens have brought forward items that are in a former employee's file, which is supposed to be not public record, but private. Again, that's coming from the Board of Selectmen. Somebody's letting it out. And I just want you to know, to put you on record, that I've been looking into it. And when I find out who the selectman is, the town's going to know, and we're going to come after that selectman. So you need to be aware of it. What is divulged in an executive session is to stay there. It is not for public to know. And yet, within hours, it's out in the public.
Anybody else? Well, I thank you all very much.
I got something. It seems like we all want you guys to do your jobs, and you're not doing it. My opinion, I'm new to this stuff, but when you tell me, you in particular, going to call me back in 2 weeks, call me back. Do your job. Thank you.
Thank you. Mail. Is there anything in there that anybody has any questions about?
Yes.
So, we have mail put in front of us. We have 15 people here that don't know what we're reading. How come they don't have a copy of this? Just curious.
I can't answer that question. I do not know.
I'm not on the spot.
From when I came on, that's the way it's been done.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think you're not going to want to just hear dry air.
There's not been one question answered here tonight. Come on, people. Really? I don't know.
Can you tell us who you are?
Yeah, I'm Lester Worthen. Been in town since 73. Yep. I see a lot of stuff going on. One of my good friends and someone I work with has left. And there's been some things going on. Things are being looked into. Now, that woman that I worked with, which was Patty, didn't have a bad bone in her body. Worked with me, helped me. If I ran into issues, she worked with me. Something went on to drive her out of here. And that something's in this room. Okay? I'm well aware, and the town's well aware. That's why the voting went the way it did. And thank Christ it did. Because it's time for a change.
Yes.
I hope it's for the better. Because I'll tell you what. There's a lot of crap going on in this town that's not right. Being swept under the rug. If it gets investigated, or if a lawyer looks into it, or hopefully Patty hires a lawyer. Because that's what I hope happens. Because this is all crap. What's going on in this town. And I don't approve of it. I don't think anybody here approves of it. It's time you guys are smart enough or get the hell out. Or we'll vote you out. You've seen it happen. We're willing to do it again.
Thank you. She felt she was duplicating work, and we needed to talk about that. We haven't been able to.
And the planning board looking to have the clerk position filled. Have we put any notices out on that?
We have not. We have not. Everything's pretty much on hold.
Is that something that we could look within personnel now?
Possible. That'll probably come up at the end of the year. Here, but I do have something to talk about under complaints. An issue that's got to do with Bunganut Beach and the fact that we've had 90 plus degrees days and the gates are locked. And people are parking all up and down the roadway, and we got to decide what to do with that.
I thought we opened that last week.
We did. It was locked all day today. It was not open. Something we need to talk about and decide what to do. Because the Y doesn't officially open full time till school's out, which is another week.
So it's just a matter of opening and closing it every night? Because I'll do that.
Well, that's really the deal, you know, and the Y is saying, well, that's a loss of revenue, and I'm looking at 30 cars parked on the road illegally causing an obstruction, saying that should be open. I don't care if we don't get a penny for it. It should be open for people to get in there.
Oh, just for the safety of parking on the road.
I agree.
Call it a cooling station.
Yeah, absolutely.
We always used to keep it open.
Does our insurance policy cover prior to?
They're covered. It's covered the whole year. It's covered the whole year.
It should be open.
Do you mind doing that?
When do they start? 15th is last day of school.
I don't know. You can try.
I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
I'll open everything. Open and dust on.
Yeah, just open at the moment. And usually, people are pretty well gone by 7 at night.
All right. Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, because it wasn't announced at the beginning, the select board works off of Robert's Rules of Order. It should be announced. It's either Robert's Rules of Order or parliamentary procedure. And that should be announced before every meeting. So I'm asking, do you operate under Robert's Rules of Order?
Basically, yes.
No. I mean, either you do or you don't. It's not basically. If you do, then you cannot have that gentleman as selectman go up and open and close that gate without making a motion from the floor and appointing him as that person. Under state law, that is has to happen also.
Day-to-day administrative
functions. No, there's not, not that.
I disagree with you. That's
fine. I'll bring the statutory law in and you can read it. It has to be voted on by the selectman in a motion to appoint that person.
I move that Rusty go up and open the gate and close the gate.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Thank you.
Did you read this thing for me, Comey?
I did not.
Okay. What's unclear to me is how this is going to affect us financially. That's all. In the transfer station, the volume has increased so tremendously.
Well, can you look into that for the next meeting?
Came out today, Yeah.
Okay. I'll read it and see if it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so looking to accept the minutes of the regular meeting dated May 3rd, 2021.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you. So they look to accept the minutes of the regular meeting dated May 17th, 2021.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Accept the minutes of the public hearing dated May 24th, 2021.
Motion accept.
So moved.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Can I hear a second?
Yes. Okay. 4-0. The special meeting dated May 26th, 2021.
I make a motion to accept the meetings from the
26th. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? 4-0.
3-0.
We accept the minutes of the emergency meeting dated June 1st, 2020.
So
moved. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you. Okay. Payroll warrant number 54 in the amount of $15,497.26.
Can you say that figure again?
$15,497.26.
Register is different.
$15,543. We went through this once before. And it's in a different place. I can't remember where she said it was. We're off by $5. And I believe got something to do with the deductions.
Can we get an explanation on this when that happens on those two different numbers?
I don't see why not.
She told us.
not to the computer. Are you looking at the same one I am?
You're talking.
Yeah, she's made the corrections in writing.
Said it's an issue with the software. They are looking into it as a 527, ticket number 690174.
Okay, so we look up for a motion?
Yes.
Trio issue that we're having?
This is the second time I'm aware it's come up.
It seems more than that.
We had a trio issue with the roads budget, too.
Where, and that seemed to be like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Are we looking into new software, or have we discussed what our options are?
The general discussion has been that it works okay. There's a lot of other things it could do, but the price is right.
So it's just, is it outdated or is it just inferior software?
It's been around for a long time.
Didn't we just update Trio?
Well, we updated just on versions.
Okay.
But, I mean, we've had it for what, probably 25 years?
Yeah, forever. Was here when I got here.
Yeah, well, but yeah, so I mean, the discussion has been, it does okay, there's a lot of other nice things, but we want to pay the money for the other nice things.
So my concern with that is, how do we know these numbers are right?
Well, I think that we can take for instance that it's right because the adjustments have been made on here to note that there was a discrepancy and the fact that it's being looked into by the software company because it was discovered by the treasurer.
When we had an issue with the road, how did we work our way out of that?
Don't remember. I remember it lingered for a while, and we had some confusion.
Exactly, there was enough money, there wasn't any money, there was enough money, there wasn't any money.
John?
Jeanette and I, when we were looking at the final numbers, started looking at it, and the paper numbers didn't add up with the Trio numbers.
Right.
And it had something to do with the encumbered funds. So when she did it out longhand on a calculator, that's how she found a mistake, and it was a Trio mistake.
It was a $100,000 mistake.
Right.
So that brings me back to my point is, how do we know these numbers are right?
The longhand numbers.
If you have a $5 mistake here and a $100,000 mistake there, that's a pretty wide range of mistakes.
Well, you're correct, but we also have next month the yearly audit coming. And that's usually what rectifies any issues that arise. That's what they look for.
If the encumbered number, Dave, is extremely high, if one is $90,000, the other one's $5, of course there's a huge difference, but the budgets are greatly different as well.
And that's where the
biggest problem came from, is they were big numbers and a discrepancy in the encumbered funds.
But this we review sometimes a day, 2 days, 3 days at most. And with that kind of glitch, we're approving money, we're signing it, it's going out. But it doesn't seem like there's much confidence in the program itself.
Well, there's obviously an issue.
You've got a treasurer reviewing it also.
Right, the confidence, I guess, relies on a treasurer. Yeah. I need to say that.
But that's what it does. I mean,
right.
That's why we hire a treasurer.
Right.
I mean, whatever you guys want to do. This one's a small one, the next one's a
big one. I know. Well, I'm really leaning to the next one.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm bringing it up on the small one. I mean, I see handwritten notes. I know, you know, I thought that was $57,000. I didn't know it was $100,000. You know, and it's just, it's a wide range. And, you know, we're talking about these, we're signing these. And I'm not comfortable right now. I mean, maybe I'm making a big deal out of it.
I would think if the number on our agenda sheet is not correct, I think we would have known it by now. I think Jeanette would have said something. So, and that's why the notes are here to say there's a problem, I know it, and I feel okay with this.
No, I'm not. You know, I'm not a software or professionally. I just, you know, when we have these issues, and it's before me now, and I'm going to sign. You know, I mean, yeah, it's small money here, but it's big money here, and. You know, we're gonna sign away $564,000, and it seems to me that there could be a glitch, and I just want to feel comfortable that we're not.
Maybe that's not what we should be looking into. Then another accounting program. But what are we tied into? Are we tied with the fire department at the same time, or
no.
Other?
No.
So it's easier than it sounds, but. It's still, I'm sure it's a big penny.
Well, I just think we need to.
But it's an avenue we should
look into.
Yeah, sure.
I know that when she does these reports, that she pulls stuff off in a spreadsheet to be able to double check things.
Yes.
I have no doubt she knows her job. That's
yeah.
For sure.
So
that's
whatever you gentlemen want to do.
I personally don't feel comfortable.
I have confidence in Jeanette and Jeanette's.
Oh, no, no. I have nothing
no
about
problem.
Jeanette.
I'm
just saying that if a mistake is going, if Trio is eating up numbers somewhere, you know, I mean, and if it gets by, you know, I'm not an accountant.
I have a slight play on TV.
You do play one on TV, look.
I have a suggestion. How would you like to spearhead looking into this problem?
a guy with
no
IT experience.
No, I think it's something worth looking at. I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
We ready to do that?
Welcome to being a new guy.
Great.
You gotta catch all the problems.
Yeah.
They don't want them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're gonna decide what to do today.
I trust Jeanette's numbers. So I have no problem making the motion. Yes.
Any more discussion? Okay, all those in favor? 3, all against? 1. 3-1. Okay, thank you. Payables warrant number 55 in the amount of $564,674.35.
Bean data. Another $2,295. Is that contract or service calls or? I mean, I see services. I see monthly services. I see services. I don't see anything stated contract.
The monthly services are the contract.
That is the contract.
That is the contract.
So we're paying $1,260 a month for a contract to what? To manage the website and to do the setup and all that?
To manage the accounts here, internally, the email, address, structure, backups, server, PCs, laptops, make sure that there's security on them all, that anyone that can access here is secure, and that we're not exposed to hacking or anything else.
So then when it says service, we're talking outside the contract zone?
Yes.
So last month we spent $1,000 on service. Any idea what service we got?
I would have to see what the detail is of that. I don't have that in front of me.
I wouldn't think you would, but I would think that it should be on this description.
Okay. Well, I can ask her to make sure she puts that stuff on there so we can see that.
Yeah. I have another question.
Go ahead.
Reimburse gravel pitting escrow.
What is it?
Reimburse gravel pit escrow. Page one. Third item down.
So you're wondering what that is?
Yes.
I can't.
I can answer that.
Yes, Morris.
That's when somebody was in the planning board. They had to put up so much money to get the process going. Right? I don't know how much money they put up.
That's right.
Whatever money they put up, right? The planning board draws the money down, right? When the whole process is all done, whatever money's left goes back to the fellow who was doing the grant investment. That's what that is.
Thank you, Mars. That's the only thing I was sticking in my eye.
Okay, so we have a motion on you. Seconds it. Any more discussion? All those in favor? Three. Dave? No? Okay. Yeah, right. This has to do with a KRT appraisal, and this is an agreement with a release from both parties that it's over and that we're going to move on and that we cannot sue each other, etc. So if you'd like, I can read this out loud to everybody. So this is a mutual lease, a settlement agreement. This is made, it says May of 2021, between KRT Appraisal, a Maine limited liability company with a place of business in the city of Haverhill, County of Essex, and state of Massachusetts, hereafter referred to as KRT Appraisal, and the town of Lyman. A Maine municipal corporation whose mailing address is 11 South Waterboro Road, Lyman, Maine, hereafter referred to as Lyman. Whereas a dispute has arisen between KRT Appraisal and Lyman, and whereas the parties have reached an agreement settling their differences, and whereas the parties now wish to settle those differences and release each other from any and all claims either party may have or had against the other party as set forth below. Now, therefore, it is agreed as follows. Number one, except for the promises and agreements specifically set forth below, and in consideration of mutual releases and promises contained herein, KRT Appraisal does hereby forever release, acquit, and discharge Lyman and its successors, administrators, officers, agents, and assigns of and from any and all actions, causes of actions, claims, demands, debts, sums of money, accounts, compensation, contracts, controversies, promises, damages, costs, losses, and expenses, liquid or unliquidated, known or unknown, arising out of the revaluation work KRT Appraisal did for Lyman. Number two, except for the promises and agreements specifically set forth below, and in consideration of mutual leases and promises contained herein, Lyman does hereby forever release, acquit, and discharge KRT Appraisal and his successors, administrators, members, owners, officers, agents, and assigns of, and from any and all actions, causes of actions, claims, demands, debts, sums of money, accounts, compensation, contracts, controversies, promises, damages, costs, losses, and expenses, liquid or unliquidated, known or unknown, arising out of the revaluation work KRT Appraisal did for Lyman. Number three, it is understood and agreed that this is a compromise settlement of disputed claims, and nothing herein shall be construed at any time as an admission of liability on the part of any party hereto to any other party hereto. Number four, contemporaneously with the execution of this mutual release and settlement agreement, Lyman hereby agrees to pay KRT Appraisal the sum of $20,000, and KRT will return documents submitted by taxpayers on their properties. Number five, in the event either party breaches any terms of this agreement, the other party, in addition to all other remedies at law or in equity, shall be entitled to recover reasonable attorney's fees and costs incurred to enforce the terms of this agreement. Number six, KRT Appraisal and Lyman, having been advised by counsel, agree and acknowledge that each provision of this mutual release and settlement agreement is severable from and valid and binding regardless of the validity or invalidity of any other clause or clauses of this mutual release and settlement agreement. Number seven, KRT Appraisal and Lyman further agree that this mutual release and settlement agreement shall be governed by, construed under, and enforced in accordance with the laws of the State of Maine, without regard to the conflicts of law rules of the State of Maine. Number eight, this mutual release and settlement agreement may be signed in counterpart originals.
So in, to have a synopsis, we had a $165,000 contract?
Yes.
We paid them, do you remember the figure? Do you remember what
I can tell you.
What money is left?
I do it. I can do that.
I just want everybody to understand the figures. So we started at 165. We just made a settlement payment of $20,000, which leaves, I thought it was about $12,000 or $15,000.
So we will have paid $152,000 total out of that contract. So that leaves $13,000 that we will not pay. That's been doing the cleaning, and it's for another year. It has gone up a little bit, but there's more work being done with additional cleaning. to help with some of the debris that gets dragged in and around. So the quote is for $5,700 for the year, which is a monthly payment of $475 a month.
The budget reflects this, correct?
Yes.
My only question is, do they only come in on Wednesday mornings?
There was a change on that. No, it's not just, it's another day of the week that they're coming in to do some cleaning specifically to make sure the debris that's dragged in from people walking.
While we're open.
While we're open. As far as I know, while we're open, yes.
Because otherwise we'd have offices open, not that they're not a reputable company or anything else, but we're trying to keep our files secure.
Yep.
And having in and out of offices.
I will double check on that to be sure.
Yeah, it's a full day on Sunday. They're going to do a full clean on Sunday, Wednesday mornings. Here, Jeanette's here for the extra vacuuming.
There's nobody here Sunday.
But they're not in the offices. They're just a full cleaning minus offices.
So is that something that offices can be cleaned on Wednesday?
That's what I'm saying,
yep. The common area can mm-hmm. be cleaned on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. And then a redo of the common area for vacuuming on Wednesday also.
So like you said, it was additional work when that was being done.
I really know the contract. She's making plans. Yeah. I was surprised she was doing it for what she was doing it for. It didn't make sense. But she wants us as a client, so she's adding that.
Sure.
Yeah. I make a motion to accept it.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second to accept it. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor? 4-0, thank you. All right. The LED sign question went out the bid. We got the bids. The prices came in. We asked for a double-sided sign with a 16-millimeter LED. We looked at the 16-millimeter versus the 10. The 10-millimeter is a little bit higher quality, but as far as reading and notice, it was both of them were easy to read. If we were to do a 10-millimeter double-sided, the price would be $25,000, twice as much money as what we have for the 16. So the figure that we had was, I believe, $12,250 for the double-sided 16-millimeter sign, and that came in at the lowest price.
With everything that's coming up here with the budget, we know that the budget has gone up quite a bit. Do you think it's
make the motion
to table it or to, you know, we have a town meeting on Friday. You know, can we make the move? Can we make it happen? Sure. But with everything that's going on and people upset, and does it make sense to hold off until Friday? Let's see where we are. I'm not trying to throw the spoke, you know, the cog in the wheel. And I do agree that it's good communication, you know, and I agree with, you know, to bring us up up to date on communication. I agree with all that. I just think the timing right now, because of the budget and everything that's happening, to spend $14,000, it just might be willing to wait.
I have a similar concern. Got probably one of the highest percent budget increases that I've ever seen. No criticism, just
none.
It is what it is.
And I was all for it.
Yeah, yeah, we all voted for it, but
I'm seeing Friday. I'm seeing, you know, I just think it's worthy of a conversation. Doesn't cost anything to me.
The only thing I will say is that other than one person that's here that's voiced in opposition, all the other voices, I don't see them here. I never see them.
No, I get that.
You know?
I do. I get that. I know there's... I'm just looking at it a little more fiscally. I mean, when we had, you know, the meeting at the budget committee, and we actually was... The budget committee was in front of us. You know, you talk about one thing, and it's, yeah, you're right. And then you listen to another side, whether it's something, whether it's a senior or a mom or, you know, whatever, and you see that side, and that gets bounced back and forth. It's worthy of a conversation.
So is your motion to table?
My motion is to table.
That's second.
Okay, is there any more discussion? All those in favor? Okay, thank you. Looking for the status of the maintenance of the old Kennebunk Road.
I got hold of Chris Pizer. He's one of the principals with this arm.
Yeah.
They more than want to supply the gravel to get that road ready to pave. So that's a good deal for us. We've got how much we got left in paving?
22.6.
We got 22.6 left in paving right now. I make the suggestion that we go as far as we can go with 22.6. And I have a question for you. In the past, we've always been able to take, if somebody bids a contract, right? Say, we'll take Dave Sanford. They bid a contract, we get a price per little bit for doing it, whether it's base or service or whatever. They do that job, right? If we figure out we got a little more money left, we've always been able to add on at that quoted price, right? I was told the other day that we can no longer do that. Would somebody give me a reason why we can't do that?
In support of Morris, the most recent we did that, I think, was when we did Old North Berwick Road, and then we did the top coat on that short piece of Clark's Woods Road, right? That's right. The most recent, and that's...
And we just carried a barge on. You know who I'm
talking about. Yeah, yeah.
But I was told that you gentlemen didn't approve that anymore. They wouldn't approve that.
I don't know of any such thing.
Is that what we were talking about, Brad, the other day?
Whether it has to go out the bid or not is the big concern.
Well, I think my retort was, let's discuss it in open meeting. I don't think there was anybody. I mean, unless you're talking to somebody else.
I would just hold it. It's all in favor.
I mean, I think, again, that's worthy of a discussion. Where, can you explain where that money came from, Morris?
The money that came from to do...
To do what you're...
Well, it's money that's left over from the other work we bid out. All the other work we bid out, that's what's left over from the warrant article for payment.
Right. Is that the money that was there, wasn't there?
No, that wasn't there. Well, yes.
Yes and no.
Yes and no it was. Yeah. Yes and no it was. you can say it is because...
So it's really there, you say?
It's really there this time. As far as I don't say it, I mean... I thought it was there last time, if you want to know the truth. I thought I had my figures pretty well. I mean, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I can carry figures pretty well. And I cannot imagine where we were $100,000 short when I told her I couldn't do pay the frost road, really. And then it came back around again, and we were able to do the frost road. And this is money left from that account right now that needs to be used before the 30th of June, or it goes back to the general fund. If you don't use the money now, it goes back to the general fund, and you lose it.
Well.
Yeah, it does. It's got to be reappropriated, and that doesn't mean necessarily it's going to go back into the payment account.
The advantage, Dave, of using that, because they're holding a prior bid price, which we know now if we rebid it, it's going to be higher.
Sure.
So we have a chance to get some work done at the lower price that they did other work for us this year, and to take advantage of that. So that gives us more bang for the buck.
Okay, and this went through Jeanette?
She told me that, I'm being right up front and honest with her, she told me that you gentlemen didn't think we could do that. That was what I was told right in her office. She told me that we couldn't carry that money forward and put it on another. It had to go out to bid again. We couldn't carry it. Even if they carried the same amount for another piece of road, that we couldn't do it.
We've got past practice on that there. Where's the other one, Morris?
We've done it for years.
We've even gone a full season over or something.
Yeah, they carried the money forward and the price didn't change.
Right.
We were allowed to do it, you know?
Yeah, maybe she wasn't.
Well, I don't know, to
the 10K, anything over 10 has got to go out to bid per charter. But maybe she wasn't aware of the past practice and what we've done with that, maybe.
Because
what we thought was, I think the discussion when we did it before was, we've already bid this. It was bid a period of time ago. Prices 10-2. But
to qualify a little bit, this is still in this budget year.
Yes, sir.
We're going to use this money after this budget year. We're not carrying anything forward anyway.
Right.
This money's going to be used before the 30th of June, if you gentlemen approve it.
Yeah.
And the gravel's going to come from, as long as I think they supply any gravel we needed to shape the road to get the base down. No charge of the town.
I'd move we do that job.
So we have the money, it was appropriated for that.
How funny is it?
We've already bid it out.
No.
Well, it was bid out for another job. The job came in less, so they had money left over, and they're willing to do the additional work for the same price.
What they hold, the price they're holding is the price per ton on the material.
Is it a completely different road, or just...
Yes.
We think we probably do about 300-400 feet of that road.
And that's the critical area because of the job.
It goes by the house. It goes by that house. Yeah,
what we've got is on that road, you know, Hisson's down there, and the trucks come out. And there's part of it paved in, and where the trucks come out, you know, when they go up on the pavement, they come off the pavement, they wear it pretty hard right there. And there's a house right there. And the thought was we'd gravel the whole road, and we would use that money for that hot top and work our way down there so that particular person isn't dealing with that hole.
Are we obligated to plow it?
Oh, yeah, we plow it.
Yeah.
We plow it?
We plow it. Remember, there's our pit. Yeah, we're obligated to plow it.
So then it makes sense to move forward.
Yeah, it does.
It's just a way, Dave. It's a way to be able to start taking care of that road and get it paved.
Yeah.
You know.
You'll be done with it.
Right.
Yeah. All these dirt roads we spend, it doesn't take us many years of maintenance to look at it and say, you know, we ought to at least have a base coat on this. The way it's been historically.
So we have a motion. We need a second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? Four to zero. You're all set, Marks.
Thank you.
Okay. Treasurer's expenditure report, which she gives us every meeting, and not that I can answer any questions on it, but anybody have any questions on it. The reports that we get every 2 weeks tell us what the original budget amount was, year-to-date net, any encumbrances on those accounts, what's earmarked to be spent, what the unexpended balance is, and the percent spent, so we have it throughout the year to know where we stand with all the different budgets.
I have questions, but you're not told she can walk me through it.
Okay, good. So, good. Then you can report back to us and bring us up to date.
Yeah, I hear a sucking sound.
Okay. So we're going to get into new business now. This came up as a question. What do we want to do? Accident insurance for people that volunteer in town. So you have a document on it here, and basically what it is, anybody that volunteers in town, we buy insurance for the year. It's accident insurance for the volunteers through Hartford Life Insurance, and it's $2 per volunteer per year.
Where's the money coming from?
The budget.
Did we put in for that?
I honestly don't know.
I don't recall that.
If we have, well, if we have 100 volunteers.
I feel like I recall that. We
did discuss this somewhere.
I feel like I do recall that.
But if we have 100 volunteers, that's a total of $200.
I'm just curious. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm sure it has a specific line item it comes out of, but I'm not aware of it.
From the insurance.
You would probably, that would be logical. That would be logical. So it's really a discussion. What do you guys want to do?
People should be insured. The liability should be paid.
It's so minimal. You know, how can you not have people volunteering?
So if it's in the budget, what are we talking about right now?
Well, like I said, if it was 100 volunteers, the cost would be $200. Pretty cheap insurance.
We've got the cemetery committee.
Yeah. No. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm saying, so we evidently had this conversation.
Right.
It's in the budget.
Right.
What is this discussion about?
What are we talking about?
Because we this has been available for years. And we've never done it.
I thought we did it last year.
You didn't do it last year. You've done it before that. It's in the email. It's in there, yeah.
That's something you need.
We just need to agree to do it.
I will be doing it.
All right. So do we have a second? Hey, all those in favor? 4-0.
Who was that? Second? Who? Dave?
All right. Yeah. Okay. Insurance only costs $2 a person, but it takes 4 hours to do the paperwork.
How would I get the volunteer listing? Who has a listing of volunteers?
Well, most, you've got a lot of your committees that are all volunteer.
Because this has to be done in paper by June 30th.
Okay, so, we'll come up with a list.
All right.
Okay, the rest of you
totally revolve, though. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It could be like, let's all volunteer, go do the baseball field, and it could be a whole other group of people. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one to get a list of names.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but the people all have to apply to a paper application, so that should be just going on that list so we make sure they're covered. So, Preston, do you have some
information? Yeah, the CMP LED light, street light conversion, I guess, whatever. It's a no-brainer. I mean, they're going to save us $3,000 a year on the streetlights we have. And it doesn't matter who supplies our power. It doesn't matter who we get our power from. They're willing to switch out all of our streetlights and change them all to LED. The only thing they want from us is a commitment that we're not going to remove the streetlights within 15 years. They will still maintain them after the 15 years. And they'll maintain, the whole 15-year program. But they just want to know that we're not going to eliminate streetlights within a 15-year.
I've never seen that.
That was my
first time. I've never seen it. Once the streetlights up,
yeah, well, if anything, we're going to do it.
They cleaned them out. You go up 35 and see how many lights are on.
Yeah. But it seemed like it was a no-brainer. They said that it would be in 6 to 8 weeks worth of time period before that they would all be switched out.
They're paying for labor also?
They pay for everything. And we save the money on the far end. All we do is just commit to 15 years of not removing streetlights.
They won't even be CMP in 15 years.
Right. And it just seems like a no-brainer. So I make a motion. Can I do that? Make a motion. Yeah. Go forward with this.
So John seconded that. there any more discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you. Vote to renew policy regarding check disbursement prior to expenditure warrant approval.
Yes. Something to do every year?
Yeah. Synopsis of this. What it allows is payment of state funds collected by the agent of the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, and State Animal Welfare Department. Such funds are not considered municipal funds, though they are commingled with the town's checking account. The tax collector and treasurer shall verify with each other that the proper balance is being paid, that they can automatically deduct bank charges. Minor purchases of less than $500 when payment is required at the time of purchase with use of the town's debit card, and the treasurer may schedule online bill payments prior to warrant signature in order to ensure that owed funds are received on time. What it does prohibit is regular contractual payment for services unless there's a specific vote prior by the Board of Selectmen. Major purchases over $500, payments not due prior to the next scheduled expenditure warrant, and items requiring final Selectmen approval for payment, and then it says any other item not covered in Section 3 above, which covers most of it. So it gives a little bit of leeway to make sure when things are paid on time, with certain restrictions.
Yeah, it's pretty standard.
It is. We do it every year.
Yep, so moved.
Yep. Rusty seconds it. Any questions? Discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you. Policy regarding the payroll warrant. As per Maine Revised Statutes Annotated Title 38, Section 5603, it shall be the policy of the Lyman Board of Selectmen to permit disbursement of employees' wages and benefits when the disbursement warrant has been signed by one or more of the municipal offices. This is for the year 2022. Which is technically effective July 1st, 2021 through June
30, 2022. Yeah, so we'll do this too.
Yeah. Rusty seconds it. Any discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you. All right. We have price quotes for propane for heating for the town hall. This is for a year. A lock-in price, and we have three submitted prices. Fieldings Oil and Propane is a sort of a pre-buy, but it's $1.59 a gallon. We pay a third of the contract when we sign it, and then it says equal monthly payments thereafter. We're using 700 to 800 gallons estimated usage a year. Down East Energy was $1.99. I assume they bill us when they deliver. And J.P. Carroll was $2.10. And again, that was billed at the time of use. So Fieldings, with even though we prepay, was by far the cheapest at $1.59.
We go with Fieldings, and that works particularly well the way we're budgeting.
How did we get these three names?
help. Two approached me, but we always want three, so I just looked up on the internet because we wanted it to be lock-in, and not everybody does lock-in, so I searched until I found this, and I called that one.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's 40 cent.
Did you make the motion, John?
I did.
Okay, and Rusty, did you second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you. Okay, we have an applicant for the cemetery committee. You have in your folders. Read this out loud if nobody minds. The applicant for the cemetery committee is Celeste Hatch, and she works for Saco School. President of Camp Daytime Loom? Is that what it says?
Camp Laughing Loom.
Oh, I'm sorry. Laughing Loom. For 20 years, Secretary of Lyman Snowmobile Club, 10 years. Would you like to be on the cemetery committee? I'd make a joke about that, but I'll leave it.
You can't.
It's okay. Make a motion to accept this. John seconds it. All those in favor? Yep, good.
Last time.
Yeah. Okay. We need to vote to appoint Richard Lambert, part-time interim CEO, LPI, as per agreement.
I would like to make that motion.
Second. Okay, any discussion on this? All those in favor? So, like our assessor that's filling in, he started earlier today. So hopefully this is going to work out so people can get the permits as they need.
And he sent out a bunch today. So.
Did he? Good, good. Okay. Okay, we posted internal to the town hall for the assistant to the assessor, a person to fill in that position to do a lot of the daytime duties, go out and do a lot of footwork, research, pick up information. We put together a job description. We even had the assessor look at it, and he was very happy with it. And so we did that. Now, so you've got what was put out there, and we have one application from an internal person. I don't want to go any further with that. We're going to discuss that later, but we can talk about that later on. Okay? So then we have what to do about interim planning board clerk. Well, that's why I said we were going to get to discuss this. And
Did we put it out? Is there anybody available in-house?
We did not put it out. And this is an interim. This is just a fill-in. Do we have ideas what to do to fill it, as far as filling it in?
Well, I would think that the first thought is to stay in-house to see if somebody can do it here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you would have to pay that overtime or pay that the stipend.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's already in there.
Well, the way that works now, if a person's an employee, they can't have a stipend.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to pay them an hourly wage. So yeah, I think we can deal with that. You want to just post it internally for the short time?
I would.
And see what we get?
That must have been a motion.
Oh, yeah.
And I second it.
Okay. All those in favor? Okay, thank you. Okay, we ran into a stumbling block with the purchase orders. The current regulation that we have is it has to be signed by the board. And so we wanted to discuss that the board clerk, secretary, could sign those if one of us said, yes, it's okay, verbally. So we wouldn't have to come in to sign something so that it could be accomplished.
And what, give me an idea of what that something is.
So
there's two right there, if you want. The two purchase orders that you have to sign, just those are two examples there.
Right.
They would get scanned to you, and you could see it like he's holding it right there.
This one is Edison Press. It's for the town reports.
Annual reports.
And, you know, it's due, and we need a board approval. And if Lori called one of us and we said, yes, I would sign it, she can go ahead and sign it and process it through so somebody doesn't have to come in and do it.
Dollar amount, you have a dollar amount.
Are you
uncomfortable
with?
Well, I guess that's why I asked.
Yeah.
So, we've got one here is $405, and Edison Press is $5,087.
So, if you cap something at $7,500. We need a cap somewhere.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You would get a copy of that, though, and see it and review it and ask questions about it before you would say it's okay for me to sign it.
Oh, that's different.
That's what this is about.
Okay.
That's not just giving me carte blanche to do it up to a certain dollar amount without letting you guys know. That's not what this is about.
You know I absolutely trust you.
Yeah. No, I agree with it. It's business. You know, it just should be done. But yeah, it says after review by the chair, right on your agenda. Purchase orders after review by the chair. You grant verbal approval authorization to sign by the select board.
Okay,
Michelle.
But
when
it considers a DocuSign, it's a pretty cheap program they could do where you could sign from
There's free programs to do that.
But, I think that over a certain dollar, we'll get our butt down here. Right. But, you know, I mean, this is, even for $5,000 is unusual. But, you know, some days there might be 5, 6, 7 purchase orders. And how many times am I going to stop in and sign something, you know, during the course of a day? It's already a ridiculous number of hours now. So,
Bill?
Yes?
Before you get a ticket, some of the policy on this I'd like to discuss too before you get down here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yep. So we all set with that? Did you guys want to sell one of it?
I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
We can sell it. So. Okay. So we have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor? Lawrence, you're up.
Yeah. Well, on the same thing, like David Riley does, I'm going to use David Riley as a. He does a lot of odds and ends around town, right? But different part, you know, parcel. Like he does pasture, if we have a tree down, rather call him, I'll call him, let's go, things like that, right? You've been making him get a purchase order to do that. To me, in the past, he'd submit his bill to the treasurer. I can really look at the bill and just initially saying, I agree with what the bill says, like that. This baloney of making him get a purchase order every time he's going to do a little bit of work that's happens time and time again, I don't think it's counterproductive as far as I'm concerned.
I have a solution for that, and I'll talk to you about that later, but I have a solution to that whole scene, and I think we can take care of it real easy. So that the advantage of the purchase orders,
I understand what the advantage is.
Really enormous for us to know where we stand budget-wise. So I don't want to minimize the value.
I'm not minimizing that, Bill. Okay. And I don't disagree with what the purchase order that you're doing here. But when you've got a man that's working day in and day out for the town, they're making him get a purchase order every time he turns around, it's counterproductive.
What I was going to suggest is get a purchase order for $2,000 for miscellaneous work done around town. And then you keep adding on to that when you have him do something. So when you get to the total amount, it gets turned in. Or it gets turned, they know it up front, they cover the money, but then it's expended and we know where it went. That would be the simple solution that I'm aware of.
It's a blanket PO. That's
a blanket
PO. It's a blanket
PO,
2000.
They want to do it. I mean, That's fine. I just get it every time you turn around. It's...
So he'd have that on him and he'd just do the math as he were.
Yes. Deduct it as you go. That
written down. When you use it up, you turn it in. Of course, we're already going to have a copy, so the money's encumbered. So that's set aside for those functions.
But you aren't going to know what he does until he turns it in.
Right. That's right.
So, how can you approve that?
The money up front's a blanket purchase order for work.
Yeah, but you don't know what he's going to do.
That's correct.
So I mean, it's not. You're not covering the town.
It's not knowing what he's going to do beforehand. It's knowing how much money is going to be expended. There's a limit set on that. That's what it's doing.
It's more to keep track of money than what he's doing.
I don't think you're keeping track of money. You're just writing him a blank check and do $2,000 worth of work. That's all you're doing.
Yes. Well, that's one way you could look at it.
Well, it is.
You're going to supervise him, right?
Yeah, Morris,
the money is just appropriated at that
point.
It's encumbered. We know we're going to spend it. It's there. We've got a record of it.
Well, you don't know you're going to spend it.
Well,
because you might.
Well, we might not spend it all.
Yeah, so I mean.
And if he goes over that $2,000, then he comes and gets a new PO.
I understand.
Now we can appropriate for that.
That's fine.
I see what you're saying, but I think accounting-wise, it's...
Well, so, if you appropriate the $2,000 in a purchase order, and Dave does a job for $500, and then he's going to have to wait till that purchase order, he's brought that up to $2,000 worth of value before he gets paid?
We're trying to make it convenient for him to not have to come in so many times.
No, he'd turn his bill in the same.
Yeah.
It's bill just against that purchase order.
Bill against the purchase order.
Right. Right. Purchase order.
Yeah, we just know that money's incumbent. Jeanette knows it's incumbent.
If Trio allows it. I'll have a report for you in the morning.
Okay. Before we go on, is there anything else?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, where are you going on?
We're going to go to the next thing on our list.
Yes, I have a question for Michelle. Mm-hmm. So we have everybody here.
Yes.
Right? And again, I'm looking at this, whatever it is.
Okay.
Is there, I don't know, when I was in school, there was a,
don't see overhead projector.
Showed up on the wall.
It's called an Elmo. So an Elmo is
an
Elmo?
The
long and short is, yes, I have two ways of doing it. I have two ways of displaying documents virtually, so everyone online can see, as well as in the room, whichever you would like me to do. There's
can
an
you
Elmo,
do both?
I can do both. You just tell me why you want done. Elmo's one, a cheap one, which you don't want a cheap one. It's like $70. A mid-grade is about $300. And then we get the thousands, which you don't need that. And then they're also, if you have documents on a stick, if I feed it through Zoom, I can share a screen and they're on for people to see side by side.
An Elmo is just a glorified
phone. It is, but now it's technology. HDMI and all the fun stuff where you can... Yes,
I just think... Again, the communication end, I mean, we're looking at one thing and nobody can see it.
I agree with it. That's coming, I think.
I gave Bill a printout of a pretty decent Elmo, I think.
Oh, so I didn't invent the
idea. Last year. No, there was a debate on Facebook whether things could be broadcast live in the moment. Someone came in with a document and everyone wanted to see it. They wanted it to be fair for everyone, and they didn't think that could be done.
I agree.
Okay.
Are you ready to move on?
Sure.
It's semi-going to
be done after you tell
me. Okay.
Thank you.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you skipped over your committee department reports, and I got two departments I want to discuss.
we're going to go back and cover department reports with Morris.
Okay, is that all right, Bill? Is that all right?
Go ahead, Morris.
Well, firstly, on the road commissioner, I heard through the grapevine, right, that our town attorney says that the only way we get anything done up there on the Oscar Lifford Road is those people are going to form an association to expedite things. How in heaven's name can we form a road association up there when that's not a private road, it's a town road, and always been a town road for the last 75 years? Why would he tell you that? Or maybe he didn't, but that's what I heard. There's no truth to that or what?
I haven't heard anything about that.
We would have... have to verify whether it was a private road or a town road.
Was that question asked to town council?
That's been done.
It's been done a bunch of times.
Yeah, I remember talking
about Bill, read your road manual, look under prescriptive use, right?
Yeah.
If that road has been traveled over on a 30-year time frame by the citizens of the town of Lyman and nobody stopped them, it becomes a town road.
Your lawyer has written a 3-page memo saying there's no other answer, it's a town road.
And you have it in your files. You did it in an executive session.
I remember that. Talking about that road.
Am I wrong, is your town attorney told you that? Did they get a farm association?
No, but the town attorney did not tell
me. Where did that come from?
That came from me.
Oh,
it came from me. Because if it's a private road,
it's not a private road.
Okay. I understand.
If it's a private road, yes. You get a farm association. The state has to make it. But it's not a private road.
Okay. If it is determined not to be a private road, then we're fine. But I understand what you're saying.
So where does that leave us here? What's going to happen?
I think we have to come to a determination at some point.
What determination?
Whether it's a private road or a town road.
We've been around and around this for the last 20 years.
I know we have.
It's going to have to be adjudicated. That's the only way you're going to solve that issue. It's going to have to be taken to court, and a judge is going to have to rule.
Who's going to precipitate this court?
The people who live on the road.
No, I'm sorry, sir, but the Board of Selectmen a number of years ago voted to do that, and they never changed it. And we can get you the copies of it.
And they voted to do what, though?
To take it over by prescriptive use.
Prescriptive use is 40 years of public use going across that roadway.
Yes, sir.
And if you can establish that, you still have to go to court.
Yes, sir.
And I've been involved in that a lot on different properties. A judge will make the determination as to whether it is a public way or it is a private way.
Right.
And until that is done, I don't believe the town has any authority of going in there and doing anything.
Right, and what I'm trying to explain to you, sir, is that the select board voted to do that and then decided not to in executive session.
All right. We're going to have to decide that at another time. All right.
Can we set it for the next meeting? Bill, this has dragged on for years here now. Can we get a definitive answer of what we're going to do with that role? Honestly and truly.
I think we can get some of the information together. I don't know if I can guarantee we'll have all the information. I understand what everybody's saying, and I'm not disputing it either way.
The adjudication in court, would that not have to be brought forth by the people on the road?
Well, that's what I'm asking, David.
It has to be brought by the people on the road. You have to bring it to court. So whether you've got private ways that people want to form an association, half don't want to form the association, the association's dead. But if you've got people on this roadway, they're all of the same mind, and they want to get this road clarified, they have to pony up a lawyer and go for
it. It doesn't sound like an expensive thing.
No, it's not.
Unless people are fighting.
Are you aware we're already plowing and repairing this road?
We've done it since the 1950s.
Yeah, we made a turnaround at the end of the road.
I was pretty surprised by all this, too, when I was on the board. I looked just like you right now.
Yeah, we've done this in the 1950s.
Then why haven't we taken it over as a...
You tell me.
We haven't...
I wasn't born in the 50s.
Some of us were.
Yeah, some of us were, Dave. Some of us were.
Yeah. Look, and I will put it on my list of to-dos this week.
As I understand it, we've been maintaining it, we've been plowing it. The big issue has been paving it. It's been hashed over a number of times. There's issues with width. There's issues with property. I think the last thing action I remember board taking on it. Was, and sir, you were involved in that. We ended up doing, the plan was to do a petition and see if everybody would sign off and agree, and then they said they would do a base coat. Is that, am I remembering that right? Because I'm not. Sure.
Patty sent a letter out to all of the abutters on the road.
Okay.
Asking, would they sign an easement for the town to pave the road?
Okay.
Out of the 20-something abutters, two didn't respond. They wouldn't respond.
Right.
But and that's where it ended. Then the town asked the town lawyer, and it was discussed in the executive session, and the attorney came back with about a 2.5-3-page letter that says, basically, the town owns the road. It's a town road. We'd be wasting people's time and money to go through any other process. It's the town responsibility, and you've been operating that way for 30, 40, 50 years. Just continue and do what's right for the town. And the paving is an economic benefit for the town.
Right.
It's not that somebody wants a nice paved road over a dirt road. There's money spent, and not small amounts of money, every year, repairing potholes, repairing washouts, and these two gentlemen can attest to that. And in a matter of, not 2 or 3 years, but in a matter of 6, 7, 8 years, the town gets their money back.
Right. And the issue with that road also, some gravel roads leave themselves very well to be maintained with a crown and everything. This one goes downhill, goes around a turn. It's very difficult to maintain that crown. And what happens when we plow it? We knock the crown off. Okay? And then the other issue is when we're plowing it, dirt roads ice up quicker than town roads, so we use a lot more salt sand on it. Trouble with salt on a dirt road is it makes potholes. So we're fighting ourselves maintaining this. It's been a political hot potato forever. The smart move would be put a base coat on it. And be done with it.
Is it up to town standards at all?
That's the issue.
No,
that's too narrow.
We don't have a 50 foot right away through there, David. Yeah. We don't have a 50 foot right away.
I'm not picking sides on this in this at all. But if there are two people, if a town cannot prove through prescriptive use of 40 years, if they cannot prove that in the court. The town is liable for anything it does do over there that two landowners or one landowner objects to. It is not a town road. Again, this has to go before a judge and have it declared. Or somebody's going to pay a price for something.
When we started this out, right, and it's the Poor Farm Road, Shore Road, Rhode Island Avenue, I think it was one and so on, but anyway. We had town attorney draw up a release, right? We had people sign it because some of them roads went on the face of the earth where they were supposed to be, when they were laid out, okay? So we had them sign a release. They gave us the right to travel over that property 20 feet from the existing center line, from the center line of the existing road. So 20 feet each side, everybody signed a release. We went in, we built all the roads, all of them. We have too much one farm that won't sign that release. That's the big hang up. I don't understand why we just can't go in and pay what's there. Nothing, you know, on their property, don't even get on their property. We can get 16 feet of pavement down through there and be done with it.
And send everybody that lives on that road a notice that the town alignment is going to move into a courtroom, and it's not going to cost a lot of money.
That's right. I agree with you. I don't disagree with you.
And we're going to get this road declared, whether it's public use or it's private use. Anybody that gets this letter, they can then lawyer up and say, okay, I'm going to challenge the town, we're not going to do this. And if they don't do it, they don't show up in court, the judge is going to rule in the town's favor.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go, but somebody's going to distribute it, right?
Somebody's got to do this.
Yeah.
Or so you're never going to resolve.
So there's a letter out there from the town attorney back in the
day. It's just an opinion.
It's probably for
Do we have access to that so that we can
I have a give
it to, we can provide it.
Can you? And we'll forward that to town council and see where we can go from there. How's that?
I didn't mean to stir anything.
No, you're not stirring anything. Bill, it needs to be put to rest.
I agree. I also agree with Bob.
I agree with Bob. It's
got to be done in the right way so nobody's held
liable. My point was, Boris, if it truly is deemed a private road, and we go pave it with two of the abutters say no, you can't do that.
We're not asking you to do that. Transfer station.
Go ahead.
I thought in the course of conversation tonight, maybe you might be putting an ad in the paper for looking for some help. You're not. You're doing anything internal, right?
I understand what we do is any positions here we offer to the people here first before we advertise public.
Yeah, but I need two people. I had one gentleman quit, right? And I lost a gentleman to illness. Okay? And both positions, I need one position for. I'd like somebody full time for Sunday morning, for 4 hours on Sunday morning. And I'd like another floating position, another man that would be filling floating no matter when we need it. Okay?
We'll talk tomorrow sometime.
Okay. All right. Good.
Interesting gentleman in the back.
I just wanted to let the board know that the salt shed has all been redone inside. So it is all finished. But I would also like to make a suggestion that we pour a 12-inch wide by 2-foot tall curb along the outside walls so that it's impossible for the loader when he's piling up sand to get against the wall. We've done that 4 or 5 salt sheds in Vermont. It keeps the loader away 12 inches so that that bucket can't get into the wall. That's what does the damage, is that loader.
And don't get us wrong here. We don't accuse the loader operators of that.
No. Nope.
Anything. It just happened, you know. You scrape the logs out of the wall, and get, you know.
Yeah. Is it easier to just lay down blocks?
No, because the blocks move, Dave.
You gotta have
something that's gotta be pinned to the floor and pinned to the wall with 2 rows of number 4 rebar down it so that it can't break. Chisel apart, and it's there for good.
Right, but even that curb is going to get eaten by salt.
Well, you can seal it. There's a sealer out there now that you can be able to seal that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He eats the salt.
I've built 2 of them, and both of them had that curb in there.
Yeah. We've also used 3 rows of guardrail bolted to the wall. All of Portland salt sheds have guardrail, so that's another alternative. You bolt guardrail to the wall, and then it's a steel buffer.
Are you volunteering and getting those prices?
I will. I want to. I already have prices.
I'm learning from you, Bill.
I already have prices, so I knew you'd ask that. I just wanted to run it by you that it's a way for us to save a lot of money and a lot of damage down the road.
So, Brad, you said you have some pricing. What do you got?
I got a price from Mainline Fence, and they, for 3 rows, they would supply us with used guardrail, all usable pieces, and it's about $45 a lineal foot for 3 rows high.
So that was 200 feet long?
No, it's
120 on each long wall. We don't have to worry about the back wall because they never get up that far. It's just the side walls that catch them. And only one side has to be 80 feet with a loader part, the other side would be 120. So we really only need 200 lineal feet.
Times 3,
right? $1,000. No, that's included.
$45 is the 3.
Right, that's for 3 rows.
That's for 3 rows.
Right. They won't install it, but they would sell us used guardrail, because we're a municipality, for that cost. And all we do is just Hilti anchor.
What's the total?
$1,000.
With labor, without labor?
That's without labor.
Oh.
So what would the curbing be?
Probably 1.5 times that, because there's a lot more labor involved in a curb.
So we'll do some research.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to run it by you to see if it's something that you'd like to explore, because he needs to get that sand back in.
We spent the money to fix it.
Yeah, it's fixed and it's clean right now, and the sand is away from the wall. So before we have to have the salt put in there, which is being stored for us right now, that salt's got to go back in and the sand's got to get put back in there. Now is the time to strike on it while that thing is spotless and dry and clean. It'll never be clean again.
I got a question. Even though I like the idea of the guardrail, you're pushing salt salt is getting in and around the guardrail and up against that wall anyway. I understand the loader ain't hitting it, but is that salt going to eat up that guardrail in short order?
I don't know how long it lasts. I mean, it's been over 8 years and two of the major salt sheds in the city of Portland.
Almost seems like it's a protection that you may replace just to keep the skin good.
Yeah. The beauty of guardrail, Dave, is you unbolt the 12-foot section and put another piece on if it gets destroyed.
It just maintains your protective coating on the motor.
Just throwing some ideas out here.
We could.
If you had numbers, you could prove that.
Have any of you gone up and seen the job they did?
No, I didn't know it was done.
Well, I saw the staff, but I haven't seen the finish.
You need to. You need to.
Funny things we get excited about.
Well, I mean,
it is. It's
right, you know that that's a major expense. If we didn't take care of that wall in 3 or 4 years, we'd be jacking the building up and tearing the whole thing out and pouring a whole new wall. Yeah, we need to take care of it.
We were surprised at the damage and the depth of the cracks, and the damage was obvious.
So Morris, how long has that salt shed been there? 20 years.
22, 25 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Anyway, 20
so
years.
It cost us $20,000 to fix it and seal it. So, if we, and that was for 22 years. So if we put that protection in there for half that cost, we might be able to extend it to what 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Anyway.
So you spend money to save money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we just need to look at it a little more. Come up with a plan.
Okay, maybe a higher number?
Yep.
Another problem, I don't know, most of you can just a little bit more of it over your contingency.
There you go.
I'll help install it.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just on a positive note for Morris and oh, Brett. That $90,000 or $100,000 that was found through Trio and all that was spent on the Frosch Road, they did a really nice job, and I want to thank them for that. And it was overdue, but all the folks that did a really nice job. So,
it wasn't going to get done. There was a slugger limit on the road.
Thank you, everybody. We